Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What is happening, Roasters, here on a Tuesday morning, a day after my favorite day of the week, Monday, of course, because we play Monday morning quarterback. Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers, all the overnight dancers, all the janitors, all the teachers, everybody, the parents getting their kids to school on time. How about that? That's not easy. It's not easy at all. Shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're going to react to Brian Baldinger, who we just had on for about 30 minutes. And he's worth every single second because there's a lot to dissect from the 49ers this past week against the Minnesota Vikings. The Purdy stink. And we'll get there. And then Nick Sorensen. And what popped out to me is, look, we're going to get into Purdy. But I'll say this right now, Shasky. Did the 49ers downgrade from Steve Wilks? And I'm not saying Steve Wilks is a defensive coordinator of the year at all. But Nick Sorensen for the first 2 weeks, no. Fred Warner saved the 49ers from getting blown out of the building. He saved them.
You think they weren't good against the Jets?
They were okay.
They had like one scoring drive.
They were okay. They're okay.
I thought they suffocated the Jets.
The Jets is okay.
I mean, but they are the okay. Jets. I don't know how good right. They're going to be.
I don't know how good they're going to be.
2 weeks.
I'm basing off of Minnesota.
Okay.
Minnesota think about that.
Butt. I mean,
I think about that 97-yard touchdown play. Deamonte Lenore guarding Grass. Traveris were not. George Odom somehow, some way, is left out Justin Jefferson. And then what Baldy said, you talked about the drive before halftime that stole all the momentum back from Minnesota. 3rd and 13, Jefferson's wide open down the seam. Wide open.
It's not
There's
a great
no Jordan
game.
Addison.
Not a great game.
It's not a great game. So all I'm saying is the microscope is out on Nick Sorensen.
Well, here's
There's a lot made about Steve Wilks last year. Let's keep that same energy for Sorensen, who's a first-year DC. And we got to see it. Now he's going against McVay this week. Let's see it.
Well, they were given short sides, multiple times where, obviously they gave up 24 points in the game, but, seven of them came on the interception where they got the ball at like the 12, all right? And the other one was on the punt. I mean, you got a punt blocked and they had a short field. So not great, but they also didn't drop 40 on them. Like in the Saints game, the Dallas Cowboys gave up, you know, 35, 40 points on defense. That's a different story. It was bad, but it wasn't that bad. Now, that being said, you know, obviously it's something to monitor. I'm not 100% sure the personnel I saw on Sunday on defense at certain positions is better than last year. So, for case in point, George Odom, who everybody in, like, you're just reporting what you see at camp. They're like, oh, you had a great camp. Did anyone think that going into the season with George Odom as your starting safety was going to go well?
No.
No matter, like, I'll give you Belichick as the DC, and I think he'd have a tough time hiding, you know, one of his safeties.
But you put him on the line and scrimmage playing press man against Justin Jefferson for crying out loud.
I'm not going to defend that.
I don't get
undefendable.
That.
But, and then I look at, you know, when you're missing Dre Greenlaw, you know, Dre Greenlaw is it's not a big loss. It's a massive loss. This is he's one of the premier players at the position. He changes the speed of the entire defense. He's a, you know, three-level player who's cleaning up a lot of stuff on the sidelines. He's great in pass defense for a guy who's undersized. He's a sure tackler. He stuffs the run. You can't ISO him in the pass game. Like, those are two big spots. And then I look at, like, the, you know, just the defensive line, and I thought Leonard Floyd was going to be an upgrade, and I thought in game one he was good. I thought game two he was not good.
He was not good at all.
So, you know, like, I hear you.
I'm not saying that Wilkes is better, but we're going to find out a lot about Sorensen.
Absolutely.
You got Arizona on deck coming up in a few weeks. They're looming large, and their offense looks potent right now. They put up 28 in Buffalo. It blew out the Rams last week. Kyler's playing at an unbelievable level. And Trey McBride is a damn good tight end. You got James Conner, you got Marvin Harrison. Arizona's sneaky good offensively. And then you got the Cowboys, and then you got the Chiefs. All right? These are high-profile offenses. Now, the Cowboys can't stop a nosebleed on defense. We'll get to them when we get to them. But you know what? I'm watching Sorensen very, very closely. You got to put your players in position. We're lucky. If it wasn't for Fred Warner making Hall of Fame-type plays, they could have got blown out on Sunday. Sure. They could have thrown up 35 on the damn Niners without blinking an eye. So it's very interesting. Here's what Baldy had to say about the coverage.
I don't know what they're thinking. Diamador Lenore is on the other side of the field guarding grass. Like, there's nothing over there. There's no work. You got Naylor and Jefferson over here in a stack. Like, I don't know why you would drop down your backup safety in that situation. You know, him and Tig are the safeties in the play, and Odom is down there. If you're going to play that stack, at least put Treverius on Justin right there and let Ward take Naylor. Like, I mean, at least put your best corner on their best receiver in that situation. And so not only did they get caught with their second corner on the other side of the field, but they got caught with, you know, their third safety on Jefferson like that. And that's, you know, I mean, Sam saw that all the way. I think he saw it pre-snap, actually. Yeah. You know, and the biggest play that I've seen the 49ers give up since Shanahan has been there, you know, happened on the play.
So you got that. You got Bosa dropping back in coverage. Not a lot.
I remember the specific play, too,
and I say, what the hell is going on here? I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But in the bare front, and he talked about the line in the way he did. And then Hargrave. I'm glad Baldy pointed that out. The grave digger has been digging no graves. All right? He's been shoveling no dirt. That, I'm telling you, man, I'm getting Gabe Wilkin vibes from the back in the 90s when they signed this man to a four-year, $20 million deal back in the late 90s from the Green Bay Packers, and he did diddly poo with the 49ers. We like Hargrave because we interviewed him last year, and he was a great dude. We had him on for 21 minutes. Maybe it was 21 minutes too long because right now he's not doing a damn thing.
He's got a great nickname, the Gravedigger. But right now, I don't think it's appropriate to utilize that particular nickname. He's basically been a big black hole. I mean, that's what he's been as a defensive tackle. He's making a lot of money, you know, and because of his money, it's made things a little difficult to sign other guys who we really like. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, I'm going to worry about the defense a lot more if two games from now we're having similar issues. I think stopping the run it's been almost like a two-year issue, yeah, where quietly they've been able to get away with it because they've gotten big leads and they've played front-runner football where they're allowed to pass rush, but I thought Aaron Jones ran all over them. I thought Chandler ran all over them. And to your point on the turnovers, yeah, it did shut things down. The three drives for me that stood out the most. The big play to Justin Jefferson, duh. The play before halftime, the whole drive before halftime was just like head scratcher. And then 13. The final drive of the game. If I was going to isolate the three ones, it was getting off the field on third down. I think that was the consistent theme of the two drives before half and at the end of the game. They couldn't get stops.
No, they couldn't get stops whatsoever. 7-12, the Minnesota Vikings on third down in that game this past Sunday. Now, it's not all doom and gloom, but let's get to Brock Purdy. And here's what Baldy had to say about Brock Purdy's game against the Minnesota Vikings.
Daddy was good. He's always good. I mean, those tough throws in the middle of the field are tough. I don't know how to describe it, Joe. He wasn't all world, and I think some people just think he's got to be all world. He misses McCaffrey in the passing game, for sure. Yep. There's no question about that. He's just such a difference maker on really easy throws, but in space where he does so much damage after, not to take anything away from Jordan. I think they do miss him. He did deliver the knockout shots that, for example, that Sam did, from the other side. I mean, the throw to Justin Jefferson and the throw to Naylor at the end. Like, he didn't deliver those type of knockout shots that you want him to be able to do.
All right, he didn't deliver the knockout shots, no doubt about it. Maybe the knockout shots weren't available, but he didn't do it. Now, what is Brock doing wrong? Here's what Baldy had to say about that.
I do think he is kind of staring some receivers down. I think he is locked in on some guys, and he's kind of probably waiting too long for things to open up. And some of that is, okay, Ayuk wasn't there at all during training camp in the offseason, kind of waiting on some things to happen, and you can be found guilty of that sometimes.
So Shasky, staring receivers down. Nick Wagner from ESPN had this stat out there. I want you to respond to this. Niners combined 3 of 13 on 3rd and 4th down against Minnesota. So far in the year, they're 9 of 26, 34.6%, which would be tied for 21st in the NFL. So the McCaffrey effect, Ayuk's slow start, Deebo not getting separation, that's a big impact. Now also, they're allowing a sack per drop rate. How about this? They're allowing a sack per drop back rate of 11.7. That's the worst in the NFL. Conversely, Purdy has an average time to sack of 5.76 seconds, which is second slowest in the NFL. So that tells me he's not checking it down. He's looking for the home run. He's holding on to the ball way too long. And to Baldy's point, probably stares some receivers down. So we got to get Brock Purdy going here.
Yeah, and he's also had to run for his life on a few of those plays. I think I like two in particular that were completions are the one where he ran around and then threw to Juice and Deebo. Mm-hmm. He had I referenced a couple other ones where he's running around and he takes a sack. He just slides down to just don't throw this into coverage. I can't throw it away. It'll be intentional grounding. There's a lot of I thought that they were confused on Sunday, and I think there's a lot going on. He saw the rush early on, and I think that he got kind of sped up on the interception, right? He was going to Juice no matter what. And when you look at the zoomed out view, there were other guys that were open, but he's not even looking in their direction because he's already feeling pressure before it comes. And I think that he was already ready to dump it off to Juice. He actually had one earlier that he dumped off to Juice that Juice made a really nice contested catch that he got hit right in the side on. And yeah, I think that happens when you're getting heated up and you're getting blitzed and you're getting off the field. You're like, hey, I'm not going to take a sack here in this situation. And yeah, I do believe he's been locked onto Deebo a lot. Good or bad. He's had some really good plays and a couple bad ones, but he has been locked in on Deebo. And I think that's because, quite frankly, whether this is real or not, he's probably been practicing a lot with Deebo the last 2 months, and that's who he's comfortable with.
Yep. No, and obviously, Ayuk's got to get up to speed here, but that third down with 49er Frankie, Guru's boy, was like, check out the third play of the game, and you'll see the check downs. I didn't make it to play number three, Shash. I got stopped at play number two. Said, oh, there's a check down there. There's something that's available. 888-957-9570 is the number here. What do you think about what Baldy said about Brock Purdy staring down wide receivers? Now, not having Deebo and not having Christian McCaffrey, we're going to see a lot. Do you think, too, that there's some fans out there who wants to see Purdy in this position to try to thrive without McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel? Don't you think people are kind of waiting for that?
Were people waiting for Mahomes to play without Tyreek Hill?
I don't know. I'm not in Kansas City.
I'm talking about nationally.
Oh, maybe.
No, yes, we all were. All right, now let's see what he looks like. That's just what we do. That's what haters do, right? Everyone's waiting for the demise of someone. Josh Allen fans and the ones who hate him, what are they all saying? Let's see what you look like without all your playmakers.
Looks pretty damn good.
No, No doubt. You know,
it was pretty damn good.
No doubt. But like, I think that is what football fans do across the board. Now, internally, right. Niner fans, we want to have an all-star squad. Is there intrigue, though, to kind of like see what it looks like? Of course there is. Of course,
I think there's a lot of intrigue here.
Don't you think? I want to see him, you know, ball out without those guys. The hallmark of what made Peyton Manning and Tom Brady this is what made those guys is that, man, whether it's Julian Edelman or Wes Welker or I'm throwing to who's the guy that won the MVP Super Bowl MVP
and oh, they James
went to
White.
No, they went to the Seahawks early on. Deion Branch.
Deion Branch,
Rashane Caldwell. Like, there's been so many. Many guys throughout the years that you just plug into a Peyton Manning offense or a Tom Brady offense, and boom, they become ball players. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, Wes Welker wasn't doing this in Miami. You want to have one of those kind of guys. Right, that's what you want. You want to have one of those guys. Oh, James Toney doesn't work in Kansas City initially, and then he goes to the New York Giants and is completely lost, and then he comes back. Of course, it's going to work with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Why? Because those are two successful head coaches and quarterbacks. You want your guy to be one of those guys. I think the Giants, I'm talking about San Francisco Giants, kind of had that magic for a little while. Like, oh, it didn't work out elsewhere. Dan Uggla will work out here. Oh, Jake Peavy struggling elsewhere? It'll work out here. We've got the magic, right? And so, yeah, you want to have one of those kind of situations.
Dan Uggla, 2 weeks, right? Was it even 2 weeks?
It wasn't, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah, like, no, I do. I remember interviewing him at a clubhouse. He was in there.
I mean, after the Giants hit on Matt Duffy early on, it was like, we can't miss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we just know infielders. And I feel like the Niners, you know, to a degree, it's like, hey, can Cowie make plays?
Yeah,
you know, let next man up. What's up with Sauber? He looks like he can, you know, make a cut enough plays as a second tight end. So it feels like they've hit on Jordan Mason as a backup. Now, can his body withstand the punishing style that he plays?
May need
week
another backup.
After week, I don't know.
Baldy brought up Isaac Grendo, next man up. He's got to get ready to roll here, Isaac Grendo. 888-957-9570. Is there more pressure on Shanahan to put these playmakers in a position to make plays, or is the pressure solely on number 13, Brock Purdy? 408, Xfinity Mobile text line. It's not hating. It's a chance for Brock to silence the critics or confirm that he's really, really good. The critics will be silenced until the playoffs. They make the playoffs, right? And I'm not saying the Niners are not making the playoffs, but we're a long way away, and I just feel like in September we shouldn't be talking Super Bowls or playoffs. We got to get through the first quarter of the season to see where you're at.
They still have playmakers, right? Yes, you're down Debo and you're down CMC, and these are huge losses. Like, games are hard to win with those guys. They're even harder without them. But you still have Kittle, you still have Ayuk, you still have Jennings, and you still have Jordan Mason. And you've got an elite play caller. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Sirianni this morning.
Yep.
You know why I'm out on Sirianni? It's because I don't know if he has the answers, X's and O's, on the whiteboard to be able to solve the issues as they arise. Like, A.J. Brown's going to be out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, Kellen Moore and Sirianni, do you trust that they have the answers to figure it out while those guys are out? I don't know. What I do know is that when guys have been out in the past, and he has an 8-year track record, and as an OC prior, it does feel like Shanahan has found a way to move the ball with a variety of players, whether that be different running backs, different wide receivers, different offensive linemen. So I feel like there's a body of work that has me encouraged that they could figure this thing out.
On the other side, after the 8:25 break here, I'm going to play a little rapid fire with the feds out here on Brock Purdy. 30 for Purdy. This is an idea by Sam Lubman, which is really good. 30 for Purdy. You have 30 seconds to give your thoughts about how Brock Purdy played against Minnesota. A little rapid fire. 30 for Purdy. You have 30 seconds to give your assessment and your thoughts on how Brock Purdy played against Minnesota. As Baldy said, he stared out a lot of receivers. He wasn't all world. So 888-957-9570, line him up. Line him up. 888-957-9570 is a number. 30 for Purdy. You have 30 seconds to give your thoughts on how Brock Purdy played. Because that's going to be, a lot of people are going to be looking at him against the LA Rams. They beat up LA Rams, a team that gave up an abundance of points against Arizona. The game was over in the first quarter. They've got guys dropping left and right. They got half their team, it feels like, on the IR, the LA Rams. I was talking to 5-2 yesterday, Kirk Morrison. He's just like, dude, just getting beat up. We're just getting beat up. So I asked him, I was like, hey, do you think these guys need to start playing preseason? He goes, man, Puka had the knee injury in the training camp. You know, Cooper got rolled up on a fluke injury. Things happen. But they gave up a 41 burger to Arizona. It wasn't even close. So, you know.
This is a game, though, for their season.
Yep.
You know, like the Rams, you can't fall 0-3 and think that you have a chance, right? So this is like their whole season on the line, and they've got a, you know, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback and a coach that does not want to lose to you. And I think this game is massive for both teams.
Both teams, right?
It feels like one team would be going in one direction. Not that the season's over, but like for the Niners, you lose this game and like, okay, things are starting to slowly get out of your control here.
And right? Seattle's up at home playing the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins without Tua Tagovailoa. And then you have the Cardinals playing the Detroit Lions at home. So that's a big game down in the desert. Well, there's so many good games in week three. It's unbelievable. It's just box office what the NFL is doing with the schedule. But then, you're right. You send the Rams to 0-3 with Kupp out for a few weeks, with Puka out for a few weeks, Stafford with no offensive line. Now you separate from them. You stay on par with Seattle. No, this is a massive swing game. And the Niners haven't lost a regular season game in SoFi yet, Shasky. I haven't lost to SoFi Stadium in a regular season.
All those stats feel so meaningless when you lose the NFC Championship game. I'm sorry.
You know, they own SoFi.
I hate hearing it.
They own SoFi.
Yeah, but the one game we didn't win is the one that's the most
trust
important.
Trust me, they always let me know about it whenever I go down to SoFi.
It's like when I hear Giants fans like, well, 2021. It's like, you lost to the freaking Dodgers, and we all saw it coming.
Right. The Purdy 30. 813 wants to change it to the Purdy 30. That's not bad. 30 for Purdy or the Purdy 30. 888-957-9570. We're going to get to everybody after break. What's the break today, Lubbin? Is it 26, 25? Where are we at?
26.
20. Oh, so we got a couple minutes here. All right. A couple minutes here with, all right, the offense. Without Deebo Samuel, here's what Baldy said about the offense without Deebo.
You're going to see now, because Debo's out, you'll see the rookie Garendo. And Isaac Garendo, if you watch him in his final game, Louisville, USC, he was terrific. He's got 4.3 plus speed at 220 pounds. Now, he's got to take care of the ball. He's got to pass protect. There's a lot of things he's got to be able to do. And I'm not sure about some of those things. But he's got legitimate speed. I think, what do you have? Just the one carry the other day. Like, he's going to have to step up because those were Debo's carries. They're still going to be a run-first team and setting up their offense. So we're going to see more Garendo.
All right. Isaac Garendo, next man up. I'm intrigued.
He missed the hole. I mean, I think this is one thing that like frustrates me is that a guy gets one opportunity and then, obviously the game's moving fast. You're trying to get a feel for it. It's your first NFL moment, what I mean, as a player. And he misses the hole. Everyone's like, you got to hit this hole. All the All-22 experts come out the woodworks 24 hours later. And this is where I would say, and this is the coach in me, hey, you're in a game. It's a tight game. Yep. You're trying to win that game. Mason gives you your best chance. But I also know that, hey, man, I'm going to need Garendo at some point. I got to try to prioritize another touch for this young man so that when I ask him to do 5 carries the following week, maybe he's a little more assimilated. And people are going to say, Joe, what's one carry? I think it's a lot. It just kind of stabilizes things. Did Jordan Mason look better in the second half against the Jets than he did in the first half?
He looked the same to me. I mean, he looked great in both halves.
I thought the first quarter he just was a little quick, and then I thought as the game went on, he kind of found his footing, and I thought his vision was a little better.
I thought the Jets just brought it in that first quarter, man. They were fired up with their defensive line, but that's fine. He did run hard in the second half. There's no doubt about it. Jordan Mason just looks like a bull. He looks like a bull. He's just blowing through dudes. I mean, just. He's solid, but you're going to need a backup. You're going to need him to get a blow. Because as we were worried, a lot of people worried about McCaffrey and his touches last year. Well, Jordan Mason's on pace to have a lot of touches. And we have no idea if McCaffrey's coming back.
I think he's built for a lot of touches. But you do need a secondary guy.
It's 17-game season, man. It's a lot of football left to be played here. All right, 888-957-9570. I see KB in Oakland. I saw Chris in Danville. 888-957-9570. A little rapid fire on the other side. The Purdy 30? Purdy for 30? The Purdy 30? Whatever we're calling it, I want 30 seconds on Brock Purdy and how he played against Minnesota. And then I'll ask a question, and I'll just put it out there now. Who's got more pressure on them? I'm going to give you 3 names. Ayuk, Shanny, or Purdy? Who's got the most pressure on them in week number 2? Shanny, Ayuk, and Purdy. You could make an argument for all three of these guys. We'll do that on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking.
Hey, check this out. This is San Leandro Mo, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shaq.
San Leandro Mo, what up? Oh, I love me some Hall & Oates. Love me some Hall & Oates. I've been a little weird with my music taste lately. I've been bumping that Sabrina Carpenter chick.
Please explain.
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why.
Can you elaborate?
Zara Larsson, Lush Life. You know, this song right here, this is it right here. While Hall & Oates fades out. Hold on, let me do this. I'm on my snitching music hype here.
Okay.
Listen to this. Dun, 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 dun. You know, you like that song, Oates Spinotti. Wait till it kicks
it's
in.
It's all a beat.
Lovin'. I live my day as if you was the last. Oh, Lush Life. Hey, watch how this beat comes in. It puts me in a good mood.
Look, now imagining Baby Chez and Bonte.
Oh, yeah.
Doing like,
we don't want to lose the monetization of our stream,
yeah,
Bonte.
Yeah, you're destroying everything.
All right, whatever. I'm
Let
sorry.
Let him play
wait,
it.
Wait till that beat comes in. Hey. Crush. Oh, man. God,
is that something really old?
Yeah, probably. But I just heard it. I shazammed it. I was like, wow, this is good. Makes
I
me feel good.
It.
I do it. I shazammed
that
everything.
That was an old one, too.
Dude.
Not yeah, even out Siri, he shazammed it.
I shazammed. Dude, I got like 200 Shazams. I hear a beat, I just tap.
It's a great app, Shazam.
It's a great app.
Kazam, also a great movie.
Shaquille Kazam O'Neal. Was a good movie. Show's just been monetized. Hey, 510. Bonte, listen to Sabrina. Also, don't be ashamed. It's not weird you're maturing musically. I am maturing in many ways. Many, many ways. All right. Purdy for 30. The Purdy 30. The Purdy 30. Purdy for 30. I want 30 seconds on your thoughts about Brock Purdy's performance against the Minnesota Vikings. Line them up, 888-957-9570. Joe, to start this exercise, I'll give... You're on the clock here. You're on the clock. And it will go out to the line.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right now, 888-957-9570. But you first, Shasky, your thoughts on Purdy's performance. 30 seconds. Boom.
I thought that Brock Purdy had a mixed bag. I think a lesser quarterback who doesn't have a great sense of the pocket would have been sacked a dozen times in this game. I'd like to see him run a little more. I think running is one of his best attributes, and it feels like they're going to need him to run. There are hidden yards out there for him to run, and you saw it on a couple of different scrambles. One to just get back to the line of scrimmage, another one to get an 11-yard first down, which fired me up. He had some really nice intermediate throws, and he did have some that he stared down some guys. I'd like to see the coach and the offensive line synergize a little better to give him time to be able to crush teams down the field. I would also like to see some bunch formations to give him some easy layup throws. So Purdy, mixed bag of results, but I don't think the offensive line and the play calling was doing him any favors either.
All right, KB in Oakland, your thoughts on Purdy. You got 30 seconds. 30 seconds, KB. What you got?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I appreciate you. I listen to you all the time. I thought Purdy played great. I mean, I'm probably in the minority here, but I mean, he completed them almost 80% of his passes, leading the league in yards. And it was just one of those weird Shanahan game plans. He seems to have these like once or twice a year where he completely gets away from the bread and butter. There was no play action. And here's the question I have for you guys. Where's the yak in both of these games so far? We haven't seen any receivers breaking free and running after the catch. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, lack of separation I saw in the Minnesota game. Minnesota was tight on these wide receivers and tight ends, man. Not a lot of separation from what I've seen in the Minnesota game after watching it back there. Just not a lot of separation. Not a lot of creativity in the route tree as well. Uncle Gene, Purdy for 30, 30 Purdy, whatever we're calling it. Uncle Gene, you're on the clock.
All right, first of all, full disclaimer, I watched about a little over half the game from London, a London pub, so I didn't see the whole thing. But what I saw, and looking at the stats, I think he had a good to maybe even a very good game. I think he's just not getting the support he needs with the line work, and Ayuk is not Ayuk yet, so neither is Trent. So when these guys come along, even with Debo and Debo and TC out, I think that we should start winning some games.
All right, there it is. Uncle Gene from London. Mark in San Francisco. Mark in San Francisco, you're on the clock. 30 seconds. Your thoughts on Brock?
Listen here, guys. Brock Purdy played an excellent game. The advanced metrics tell you so. He had the second best CPOE of any quarterback in the NFL last week, and he had the lowest separation.
Do me a favor. Explain what that stat even means.
That is completion percentage above expected. Shout out to Lombardi on that one. So
keep cooking, Mark. Keep cooking.
He has the lowest separation of any quarterback in the NFL. That's 32. 32 in the NFL. With Debo Samuel averaging zero yards of...
That's it right there. 30 seconds is up. Garrett in Virginia Beach.
Do you know Joe Montana's EPA?
What is it? I don't know.
Nor do I care. Do you know Tom Brady's? I don't know and I don't care.
Oh, man.
You know what I do know? Four Super Bowls. You know what I know about Tom Brady? Seven Super Bowls. Do you know what I don't know about Patrick Mahomes?
EPA.
He's EPA. Yeah.
I got a thought on that in just a second.
What are we doing?
Garrett, Virginia
like
Beach.
It's like war for baseball. I don't care.
You're more of a BPA guy.
I am.
That's unfortunate. Garrett in Virginia
it's
Beach, it's happening.
It's an acquired taste.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so with my thoughts on Brock Purdy, I thought that was a pretty good game. Although I agree with you guys, I feel like he needs to use his legs a little bit more. I feel like Shanahan's restricting him a little bit. Definitely, where is the yak? But compare him to Jimmy G. That was a good game for Jimmy G, and that was Brock Purdy on... not really on his best game, so that's my take.
There it is. I'll go 30 seconds here. And I like this idea, love it. 30 for Purdy. Every single week, we'll do it. Your 30-second thought about Brock Purdy, the quarterback of the 49ers here. Is he the franchise guy? We shall see. Well, look, I didn't think it was his best game. He stared down receivers, which Baldy pointed out. I saw the same thing. On the second watch, at first I thought, man, there's no checkdowns available. But on the second watch, courtesy of 49er Frankie, I said, damn, the checkdowns were there. Maybe he didn't trust Jordan Mason. He was a little hesitant. I thought Brian Flores undressed Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan in this football game. They confused the heck out of them, and it's going to happen to the best of them. I'm eager to see what Minnesota's defense does moving forward. They've seen Daniel Jones and Brock Purdy, but he had Brock Purdy's number. With that said, the Niners had a chance to win the football game, couldn't have got off the field on third down, and then on third downs offensively, you go 2-10 on third down. That's not good enough there, so it was a C-minus game for me when it comes to Brock Purdy, and that's my 30 seconds.
You know, somebody from the 650 is texting in. I love that, by the way. Someone from the 650 is texting in, and I completely agree. They're running so much spread shotgun on early downs. I would like to see them go back to the I formation and some of their single back sets, because to me, running play action out of those sets, he's less predictable with his eyes when he turns his back to the defense than when he does, when he do that gun run, right? And he's looking at, and it's whether it's a keeper or whatever, and he's looking at Debo on those slants, it feels like the linebackers are just keen on his eyes on that one. And I'd like to see Shanahan go back to having him turn his back to the defense. He's better as an under center drop back quarterback and an under center play action quarterback. I completely agree, 650.
I thought Shanahan showed maybe a little too much respect for Brian Flores. Sometimes you just got to run your stuff. Instead, they were anticipating a lot of blitzes because Brian Flores and company blitzed 51% of the time last year. And we saw the cover zero blitz this past Sunday from them, especially on the goal line when the Niners went for it on fourth and three there, and they didn't get the touchdown. So I thought at times Shanahan maybe showed a little too much respect for Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings. Instead, just go right at them. Run your stuff. Run your game, whether it's I formation, whether it's single back, whether it's spread, I don't care. But I thought at times they showed Minnesota way too much respect defensively instead of saying, you know what, we're the 49ers. We dictate the tempo. We dictate the tone. Instead, they came out through three straight passes on the first drive, and they go three and out.
Totally.
That can't happen.
I completely agree. All right. Purdy for 30 or 30 for Purdy or whatever we're calling this was excellent. But I want to hear Spadoni and Loveman's thoughts on this as well. You know, the resident Raider fan, I need to hear his opinion because he's outside
the
bubble.
Why do you need to hear his opinion? You know what he's going to say.
Well, he knows what good and bad quarterback
is. Thinks he knows what I'm going to say because he thinks I'm so slanted and anti-49ers.
Hold on. How the hell does Spadoni know what good quarterback play is?
Because he's seen Mahomes season. In the division for the last 7 years.
He's seen one good season of Raiders football. They couldn't tell us what good quarterback play is.
Are we going to be doing this? In that last 20 years, Niner fans and Raider fans, quarterback play has been abysmal.
I'm going to do that. Just because
Rich Gannon's the only one with an MVP. He was the Raiders quarterback.
We all watched the whole league. Like,
I'm kidding. Stop keeping up with Spadoni. I'm joking with him. Gosh.
All right. Loveman.
You're so serious today.
Let's go out to the line. Sam Loveman, Purdy for 30. Or 30 for Purdy or whatever we're calling this. Let's do it.
I mean, we've with this 30 for Purdy here, we've obviously been pointing out the staring down of receivers. But for me, if I'm going to nitpick anything on Brock, is he was kind of forcing some throws a little bit. I thought last year a lot of the issues he had was when he does try to force a play when there really isn't anything there. He did kind of throw some balls into some double, triple, quadruple coverage even at one point. And what was it? The fourth and goal at the start of the second quarter when he tried to go to Juwan Jennings, didn't work out there. I thought he had Brandon Ayuk on the cross there, but you know, subpar game from Brock, not his best work, but definitely not something to like, you know, freak out and panic about. We'll see what goes on, you know, going forward.
How's the Giants game on Sunday?
Oh, sorry, my time's up, so I can't really say.
Let's go out to Joe Spadoni. Joe Spadoni in the box in the other room over there. What's in the box?
It's a great movie, Seven, by the way, as Halloween is approaching. All-timer.
What's the name of the movie?
Seven.
I don't think
Seven Deadly Sins. Brad Pitt.
Are you serious?
Morgan Freeman.
I missed that one. Yeah.
Oh, it's all. No, you got to go watch that. It's aged pretty well.
Seven and 12 Monkeys were like back to back almost.
Oh,
and
wow.
Two classics.
Oh, I missed both of them. What year was that?
Seven was like mid late
90s. 95, 96.
Yeah, I slept on that one.
We gotta Google it. Brock Purdy's going to be fine. Like, I didn't come away from that game saying, oh my goodness, Brock, he struggled so mightily. No, I came away from that game saying Kevin O'Connell outcoached Kyle Shanahan. Brian Flores outcoached Nick Sorensen. This is the thing that we do. 49ers fans love to do this. And it is funny because Kyle Shanahan is enemy number one always. Where we just saw Nick Sirianni last night, what an actual bad head coach looks like. You can blame the quarterback if you want for what? One interception, they call the fumble the second one. But at the end of the day, Brock Purdy was not the problem, Vontae Hill. See, I keep up for good quarterback play. I know a good quarterback when I see one.
Brock Purdy wasn't the problem? Who
was not the problem?
Offensive line?
Well, it's Brian Flores just out-scheming. Out-scheming the genius, Kyle Shanahan.
It's the only sport where we talk about coordinators. Like, they're on the field doing all the stuff. Like, no one's like, huh. I mean, the pitching coach just completely fooled those other.
Steve Spagnuolo's sticky man coverage,
who
guys.
Who was Bobby Cox's pitching coach for all those years?
Oh, Leo Mazzoni.
Leo Mazzoni. Look what he did. He out-schemed
Mike Maddox touched the shoulder of C.J. Wilson, and he knew he had nothing
Dave
left.
Dave Righetti out-schemed the Philadelphia Phillies in that series in 2010.
So is that three interceptions in the last two games against Minnesota for Brock Purdy? But
he was concussed for the first one. I don't count those.
Yeah, you don't count them. David Lombardi told me that on Twitter. He was concussed, so it doesn't matter. The difference was
Wait a minute. They don't count?
You know, you see, well, you basically said, well, when you factor in that he was concussed, then...
Well, time out. You know? How would anyone even know if he was concussed? He played... That's what we're doing now.
I mean, he fought through adversity. So really, those interceptions, while concussed, were like kind of like touchdowns.
I thought David was a swimmer. I didn't realize he's actually a gymnastics major. Because, I mean, the man does mental gymnastics to create these, like, as
predicted.
This is a David Lombardi tweet. As predicted, Deebo Samuel's going to be out a couple weeks. But it's okay. It's all part of the big blueprint. They're going to figure it out. This gives them an opportunity to see what they have in Isaac Arendo. This is why he was drafted. Everything is built the way they thought it was. It's like, dude, did you get a new job with SF Standard or 49ers.com?
888-957-9570 is the number.
Laugh at how ridiculous the coverage is.
What are we doing? All time,
no, I mean, he's a good game. He does his work, man.
He does
I enjoy David's work, man.
But it is a little fan fiction-y. It is a little.
So my guy Harry Barrison, shout out to Harry. They're killing me in the college football pick'em this year. Him and Mike Williams. By the way, Mike Williams sent the selfie that was just unbelievable.
Who are these people you're talking about?
You know who they are.
The wide receiver, Mike Williams?
No, not that Mike Williams. These guys went to the Olympic Club. They're in my fantasy league. I've been knowing them for a long time. They're good friends of mine. They're good friends. They're nobody special. I'll just say that. Nobody special. But Harry Bears swears by Dale Lombardi. He swears. He loves David. Loves his coverage. Oh, you know, David said this, and I said, God damn. Like, dude. David this, David that. David this, David that. But look, I just said, he had a tweet last week, and this is not fair. This is why I sound like a Steve Wilkes stan, and I don't care about Steve Wilkes. But Jordan Addison, he had a tweet. Jordan Addison had that very improbable pre-halftime TD catch against the Niners cover zero last season that ended up being the difference in the game. And I quote tweeted him and said, the Vikings scored 6 points in the second half of that one. I take Purdy's interceptions in the fourth quarter and the fumble they had in the first quarter had something to do with the outcome as well. The ones after he was concussed? That's it. He was on the field playing, and that was the result. Interceptions. Okay, but you came in acting like you were providing objective context, which you clearly weren't by leaving out a key point. That was his clap back to me. So I clapped back and said, it's not objective to say the cover zero blitz before halftime was the difference in the game when the offense committed three turnovers. That's not fair. And so this other guy called tweets at me, Hayden West, who Lord knows who the hell he is. Anything that came up for Wilkes. The momentum of the entire game shifted after that play, and the scrutiny of it in real time in the weeks to follow was not insignificant. Wilkes had five moments, but he was a bad fit overall in San Francisco. It's fine to admit that. And that never came up for Wilkes. He was a bad fit. He was a bad fit.
If you're on the field playing,
it's all
available to be criticized, okay? Steph Curry's lowest moment in the biggest stage is when he was hurt. You know what? You're out there. You're healthy enough to play. You got to live with the results. You can't shake Kevin Love out on the perimeter. Unfortunately, that was kind of part of the narrative of, oh, Steph can't get it done in the big moments, you know? And, like, you just got to wear it sometimes. That happens. Could you imagine, like, well, you know, Everson Walls really didn't have that ball caught on him by Dwight Clark because, you know, his back was a little sore that game.
Great. Now it's, you know, our boy Dwayne from BART, Dwayne Dibbs, who we know from BART. Now, this is my fault. I should have never brought this up, man. Just tweeted at me and Harry Bearson. Wow, didn't realize you were a Lombardi stan, Harry. Bonte just called you out. Now, great. Now the clip's going to come out. And now we're going to have to stay away from Twitter for later in the day. Well, no wonder David Lombardi doesn't come on the show no more.
It's okay. It's all right. You know what? Look, to each their own, right? Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, some people like my coverage. Some people like your coverage. Some people hate our coverage.
No. So a lot of people hate my coverage.
That's okay.
I think I'm overrated.
ESPN, every single Tuesday, likes
Shut
to drop.
You're talking to me.
Every single Tuesday, ESPN likes to drop their power rankings. Does it make any 49er fan feel good even a little today? Because I do feel a hell of a lot better today than I did yesterday. The sun came up. I'm ready to move on from the loss. Yeah. Doesn't mean it was a great win. It was a bad loss, but still, it's okay. They can overcome it. Top three teams in the league, power rankings. Number one, the Chiefs. We hate them. Number two, the Bills. Number three, the 49ers.
Even after a loss?
Even after a loss. And I will read what ESPN said. Their most important backup role player is Juwan Jennings. As a number three receiver, the Niners lean on Jennings to do the dirty work and deliver when it matters the most. He's earned the trust to handle blocking duties outside a receiver, de facto tight end. Since the start of last season, Jennings has a run block win rate of 84.8%, well above league average, which is about 79%. What?
That's the power rankings?
Wow.
They just gave us Juwan Jennings stats?
Yep.
They didn't talk about the loss?
Do you know, Spadoni, I haven't read power rankings.
Since like high school.
In over a decade.
Yeah, I was going to say, high school.
In over a decade. Now, we do King of the Hill as a bit, but I haven't read power rankings because of capsules like that.
Even always a power ranking. You know, sometimes we power rank, but other times it's top seven Niners right now, top seven quarterbacks you want to see, top seven things that are irritating you right now. We move it around.
And right now they're not a top three team. Kansas City, Tampa, New Orleans. Boy, come on. Buffalo? They're not a top three team right now. Seattle's playing a little better. It was a big win in New England. And all of a sudden New England playing tough. Hey, we can't sleepwalk through that game.
I mean, the Bucs and the Saints, right?
May want to keep those tickets, Chasky. May want to go to that game. All right. Where's that at? Go ahead, play it. Spinotti, set it up. You said Baldy what?
Oh, well, thank you, Bonte. I just got in his ear as we go behind the radio here. Yeah. I said, I have Baldy on the team that has impressed him the most within the first 2 weeks.
Wait, why is that so funny?
Well, just for taking it behind
so you literally just like, all right, here you go. Here's a dead fish, Madoni. Figure this out. Whatever you just said in my ear, bring it to air.
That's all right. I can make some fish stew out of it. Make some Chipino, if you will.
Hey, Love is just laughing. He's in a goofy. I like when Love is laughing. It makes me laugh.
There was no Giants game last night.
Yeah, thank God. Damn.
Hey,
baseball season's almost over.
Loveman. What? Like, if you had a chance to interview McCovey Cove Dave about this ball,
God.
What's the first question you're asking him?
We can't go down that rabbit hole right now.
Anyways, Brian Baldinger was on earlier, 7:30. Find it on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all powered by First Milk Credit Union, and courtesy of the River Islands guest line, Bonte, as you know. Brian Baldinger on the team that has impressed him the most in the first 2 weeks of the season.
For Tampa to go into Detroit and win that game the way that they did, Tampa, like Godwin, Evans, the rookie, McMillan, the run game right now, Baker's decisions, the youth and experience that they have on defense, they won that game without Antoine Winfield Jr. Like, he's first team all-pro safety now.
they won that game without one of their best defensive players. That was really, and they kept Detroit, who's got a loaded lineup. They held them to what, 16 points? That Tampa's been really impressive.
There it is, Tampa. Baldy's been on them. They're tough.
Seeing the Cowboys lose the way that they lost.
Oh, my gosh.
Seeing Philadelphia lose in the way that they lost. Seeing Detroit lose in the way that they lost. The Niners just have to keep the boat up and going, right? You just got to stay afloat here, all right? And allow the current to just take us downstream. They cannot allow more water onto this boat. And what I mean by that is you can't lose to the Rams. You got to stay above 500 or at 500 for the next couple months here as you weather the CMC injury, as you figure out what are we going to do with no Debo for a couple of weeks, as you wait for hopefully Ricky Pearsall to return. Because I think now, like, you know, fair or not, I know we haven't talked a lot about him. With the injury to Debo, it's like, whoa, we now really need Ricky Pearsall.
First round pick.
I mean, we really do. And you've been kind of hinting at this for 2 years. Like, okay, are we going to see an evolution of the offense where they're going to have to maybe open up and be a little more vertical?
Yeah.
Well, your personnel is going to dictate some of that. And if you don't have the personnel to be able to do that, well, then I think it's just going to be Jordan Mason heavy.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to work. That's going to work. Everybody in the building know what time it is here. So we'll see what the game plan looks like. But you know what? I guess it's that time of the day. And I got a question. 888-957-9570. When it comes to pressure, and like week three is not going to make or break the season, but this is a massive game, I think, for three individuals. Hell, maybe four individuals. I'm going to make it four. And we can put this on a poll. Who's this game bigger for? Kyle Shanahan, A. B. Brock Purdy. C. Brandon Ayuk. Or D. Nick Sorensen, the defense coordinator.
Boy, you're real, oh, man.
I'm not hard on Nick Sorensen.
No. But I got to be fair. Alone.
We got a new defense coordinator.
A. Shanahan.
Yeah.
Okay. B. Brock.
C. Ayuk. D. Nick Sorensen. I expect him to bounce back.
Who's the least proven of the four? Sorensen,
Nick Sorensen, no doubt.
Okay. Least proven.
He wouldn't be my pick.
What would your pick be?
Probably Brandon Ayuk.
Why?
He's got the big bag, and the spotlight is on him. We're out here dissecting him catching passes and coming off the field after catching that pass. We're dissecting every little thing. Now, you know what? I take that back. It's Brock Purdy. Who am I kidding? It's Brock Purdy who's got the most pressure on him this week. No Debo, no CMC. People want to see, can he lift this team? Can he lift his teammates and lift this offense and go out there and score 20-plus? Maybe score 30. I'm not going to ask for 30 right now without CMC and Debo, but can you help this offense function at a high level? To me, it's on Purdy. That's the most pressure. You got Shanahan,
Let me play the game on Sorensen, right? I don't even know if I believe it currently. Like, externally, I think there's pressure. Internally, I don't. But you did have Charvarius Ward, a prominent player on the team, already questioning how he's being used. It's like, geez, Louise. Said it yesterday, like, hey, once you started critiquing Wilkes in these post games, you kind of created a culture of, like, it's okay to kind of...
JC and Sack.
That was a really good call.
They didn't uncheck any of these players that they were coming after Wilkes, man. Pitchworks are out.
That's a really good call. There's some things that they put on tape defensively that aren't good. It's tough to defend. In fact, I wouldn't try to even defend some of the things that they did. But it is his second game. And they do have Brandon Staley, who... I think we all think he knows defense a little. I don't think he's the greatest defensive mind ever. Mm-hmm. So, like, what's his influence in this? Boy, it feels like he's just waiting in the wings. If they do want to clip Sorensen at some point, which I don't even want to bring that up right now. But I think he's a lot of pressure on him. Well, and I think there's a lot of pressure on some of these older guys who have been around. They want to play football a certain way. And you're missing two key players right now. You're missing a safety. I mean, last year they started Gibson toward the end of the year.
Right, Sean Gibson.
Not even playing. And you're missing Trey Greenlaw. So it's a big hole. I think he's got a lot. I would say right now that's a pretty good one. But Ayuk, I keep coming back to. But I don't think it's as close as the quarterback.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm gonna go quarterback on this one, I think Brock is very well established. I think he's a really good player. But I do believe there is a large contingent of people waiting for his demise and waiting for the, told you, we knew it, He turned back into a pumpkin. Like, there are people waiting for this man's demise, mm-hmm. which is really sad. It's just like, dude, we just watched 20 games from Bryce Young. I don't know if Bryce is any good, okay? Yeah. I know this. Not one game has Purdy looked as bad as Bryce Young has looked good, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Bryce's best game isn't even close to whatever Brock's worst game is.
Speaking of Bryce, that may be the worst trade in NFL history. We'll get to that at some point. But Trey Lance and Jamarcus Russell may be off the clock. We shall see.
When you look at quarterbacks, and I'd like to hear your perspective on this, we just put an inordinate amount of pressure on them, and we put all of the praise when they win and all of the criticism when they lose. And that's just kind of the sport.
We've been doing it for years. And it's not going to stop because they're the big money players. They're the guys who get the big dollars, the top dollars, the big fat contract extensions, the $200 million contracts. They're touching the ball on every single play, whether it's a running play or a pass play. They're calling the plays. They got the green dot helmet, everything. So they're going to get that pressure. That's what comes with the position. So when we critique Brock Purdy, it's not because we hate Brock. I think the guys, but I'm eager to see what he looks like without Debo CMC. Will he speed up in the pocket? Will he hesitate? Will he stare down more receivers? Will he take more chances that may create turnovers for opposing teams? There's a lot here on Brock Purdy moving forward.
As I watch quarterback play around the league look very up and down with a lot of young players, I think about like what the greatest coaches, whoever you think they are on the short list, I feel like a lot of them would really like Brock Purdy. Like Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
You think Bill Parcells would like Brock Purdy?
Probably.
I do. I think I feel pretty confident in saying that. I do. Even though he loves big, strong guys, he also like guys who started 50-plus times in college.
Well, Parcells is also the guy on 95.7 The Game to first say with Jimmy when he got traded here, the one thing he worries about with Jimmy Garoppolo, is he durable enough? Parcells was on that, and it proved that he wasn't durable enough.
Jimmy did get hurt in the second game or whatever for New England.
He just said he wasn't durable.
Right.
Do you think
Belichick would like Purdy?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I do.
I don't know. Maybe.
Grinder.
Maybe. Yeah, sure. But Purdy's a very likable guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I think a lot of coaches would like Brock Purdy, but would they prefer to have Brock Purdy at quarterback? Is a different question. I don't know.
I think a lot of coaches.
Would Andy Reid
want
Brock Purdy play quarterback in his offense?
Well, Andy likes a lot of quarterbacks.
Would Sean Payton like him? I don't know.
That's interesting on Sean Payton.
I don't know.
He likes his guys to move around a little. Brock can move around. I'd like to see Brock move a little more. Personally. Like, I really would. I think he's got more to his movement ability, and I think that he can move more, and I think it would help this team a little. It would kind of open up, especially when you go man-to-man. Part of the beauty of what Colin Kaepernick brought to the table, you're going to man us up? Well, I'm going to run, and I'm going to, like, make you spy me and take a guy out of the middle of the field. I'd like to see Brock Purdy use his legs a little, and when they go man and scheme some things up to where, all right, fine, you don't want a QB spy me? Well, I'm going to get to the outside. I think he can do it.
Would Brock thrive in Carolina with Bryce? I don't know if anyone would.
That seems like a very poor situation.
But Bryce, and I seen Adam Thielen throwing his helmet a couple times, Bryce has had guys open. The film of Bryce, I was watching Chase Daniel breakdown of Bryce. It was like 18 minutes long on Twitter. It was not pretty. He was seeing ghosts thrown off his back foot, floating passes. He was legit.
Seeing ghosts.
Like, Bryce looked legit scared to pocket. He did. But as we say, who's got the most pressure on him? 70 votes so far on YouTube. Who is this Sunday's game against the Rams a bigger deal for? Is it Shanahan, Ayuk, Purdy, or Sorensen? So far, 44% of the vote goes to Brock Purdy. Now, what about the defensive line? I could add a defensive line here. Here's what Baldy said about the Niners' D-line's performance against the Vikings.
Well, I think Leonard Floyd was invisible. I mean, he really wasn't any kind of a factor. You know, they paid Javon Hargrave a boatload of money. He was the first free agent signed 2 years ago. He's not getting the push inside that he once did in Philadelphia, that's for sure. Or in Pittsburgh. He doesn't look like the same player to me right now. Malik Collins is he does a lot of dirty work in there, but they're getting nothing from the backup pass rush. Yetur Groves, Matos, like he's not a factor right now. Jordan Elliott's not a factor. They're not getting anything. I mean, Nick's playing a lot of snaps right now. He had a good game. Darisol's a hell of a player.
He beat Darrisaw, like, he beat him a couple of times. And the week before, Darrisaw pitched a no-hitter. You know, he's a good player. And I thought Nick got after him. He's playing, you know, he's playing a lot of snaps right now, and because he has to. There's just a big drop-off right now.
So he has to play a lot more. Leonard Floyd was – the film didn't look good for Leonard Floyd. He was – oh, my gosh. I saw some clips. I was like, I had to turn it off. It was
what if I
bad.
Asked you, like, what – and I always think about this, like, in baseball and basketball, when a guy bounces around kind of in the middle end of his career, like, he's been on a lot of teams, Leonard Floyd. Why hasn't he stuck?
I don't know. Double-digit sacks, too. Double-digit sacks. It's hard to find those guys. But, again, it looks like for the second season in a row – the 49ers are going to have to invest in a defensive line at the trade deadline. Gravedigger's giving them nothing. Nothing. Collins is good. But you need more. Like, they can't get the defensive line. Ever since they traded DeForest Buckner and D4's body failed them, you move off of Eric Hart. The defensive line has been really struggling here the last couple of years. It's a problem.
If I said to you the Javon Hargrave signing feels very Nate Clement-ish, what would you say?
I think Gabe Wilkins. Nate Clements made a couple plays, but I get where you're going. I get where you're going. But they took him from Philadelphia. I always look at a team, why did they let him walk? Well, Philly's like, we got Fletcher Cox. We're going to go draft Jalen Carter. We got Jordan Davis. We're fine. Even though they're struggling getting to the quarterback right now, they just let him walk. They didn't prioritize him whatsoever. That Howie Roseman prioritized his defensive lineman. They let Hargrave walk. So I think of Gabe Wilkins with the Green Bay Packers. Did nothing. Remember the Niners signed up in the late 90s? 4 years, $20 million, which was a big deal. Yeah, maybe been 5 or 30.
He was like
knows.
The fourth D-lineman I thought about on Green Bay.
I mean, it wasn't even a factor. The Niners signed him as his big boy, and his biggest moment with the Niners came when Brett Favre punked him. Brett Favre went at him, called him a chump.
Well.
So it's disappointing to see Hargrave play like this. And then Leonard Floyd not having the impact in week number two. It just gets tougher and tougher, man. And so Bosa, we are asking a lot from Nick Bosa. He's going to have to play multiple snaps. It is what it is. It is what it is.
What did you think of Baldy saying that Nick Bosa played a good game?
On second watch, he did. He played a better game. He almost got the forced fumble on Sam Darnold.
First time I've ever seen him do that strip sack.
Like, he's trying to force some turnovers here. Bosa played his ass off in Minnesota on second watch. It was
okay.
I don't like him at times in a run game. I want him to show a little more resistance.
In.
Yeah, he's just coming in. He's losing outside containment, and guys are having success running at him. I think he'll rectify that. He'll clean that up.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.